Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. Welcome to Live with Passion. I am proclaiming to you a series about what really matters. And today I want to talk to you about hope. Everybody needs hope. I want you to be a person of hope. If you're a person of hope, you can be a person of passion. I'll share with you from Romans chapter 5. It goes like this. Our sufferings produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That is so beautiful. Hope does not disappoint us. And we have a glorious hope of eternal life with God in heaven. As we know, that's our living hope. That's what we're all looking for. And that's usually when we think about hope, that's what we talk about, that eternal life and living in heaven forever. But what about life on earth now? What does it mean to have hope now? It certainly means to believe that one day life will be better. But I've also discovered that hope has a nuanced meaning, that hope is more than just what's going to happen in the sweet by and by, as glorious as that's going to be. Hope is when God is working in our lives, bringing good out of the hard and evil situations in our life. I'll tell you a story. It's about this farmer. He had a horse, just one horse, plowing the land with the horse, and harness on the horse broke. The horse took off and jumped the fence. He lost his horse. It was his only horse. Neighbors came running over. Hey, we heard what happened. You lost your horse. That's really bad luck. And the wise farmer said, well, bad luck, good luck, who knows? The next day, the horse came back, and it had a herd of wild horses with it. And now the farmer's got all these horses. And the neighbors heard what happened, and they came running over. Hey, we heard what happened. Now you have all those horses. That's good luck. And the wise farmer said, well, good luck, bad luck, who knows? Well, the next day, the farmer's son was up on one of the wild horses, and he was trying to tame it. They call it breaking the horse. And while he was up there, the horse bucked him off, and he fell, and he broke his leg. All the neighbors heard about it, and they come running over again, and they said, hey, we heard what happened to your son. That's really bad luck. And the wise farmer said, well, bad luck, good luck, who knows? The next day, the army came to town and conscripted all the able-bodied young men to go off to war. And because the farmer's son had broken his leg, they left him alone. Now, was that good luck, bad luck? Who knows? Point of the story is this. Sometimes things that look good may not be so good. And here's my point. Things that look bad can actually turn out to good. Think for a moment about the crucifixion of Jesus. We call that horrible event where Jesus was tortured and crucified. We sing that song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? We call that event Good Friday. How in the world can we call the execution of an innocent man something good? Well, as you know, Jesus' passion, his crucifixion, has turned out to good for us. We are now able to unite our sufferings with Christ, to lay our burdens down at the foot of the cross, to give him our sins, and to receive forgiveness and eternal life. So what started off to be a horrible, bad Friday turned out for us to be a good Friday, because from Good Friday comes resurrection. I go to many churches, and some of the churches will have a crucifix in the sanctuary. Some of the churches, their crucifix will show the risen Jesus on the cross, because The two go together, his death and his resurrection. One time I was on the beach about to ride my bike and this big rainstorm came, so I looked for some shelter, and right after that, I couldn't wait because the sun came out and I said, there's got to be a rainbow coming. And sure enough, right after the storm, this beautiful rainbow. See, that's hope. Believing that even in the midst of your storm, something better is coming, even from the storm. You've all heard that saying, you know, if life hands you a lemon, make lemonade. And I really believe that there is a silver lining in every cloud. I'm not just trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to imbue you with hope, because I've discovered in my own life that it's not over just because something's hard. Actually, it's probably just beginning. The way God is, He is able to take from any situation in your life good things. Let me try to explain that even more. I've got many examples. Just recently, two different people came up to me, and they said that they had been in a car accident. They're okay, but unbeknownst to them, because they went to the hospital and they were examined, both different people, different times, the doctors found the beginning of cancer in their body because they had those examinations on the operating table. Had it not been for the accident, both of them could have died from cancer. But because they caught the cancer early, both those people are now alive and well. And when they got into that accident, they were thinking, this is horrible, this is bad. But because of the accident, they found the cancer. Wow. Maybe something like that has happened in your life, and you know that just because things aren't the way you would have had them doesn't mean that God isn't working. God works through all this. Does God give cancer? No. Does God give the accidents up? No. Does God work in it and through it? Yes. Does that all the time. See, this is called redemption. God is a redeemer, slaves in Egypt. God redeems the Hebrew slaves, works through that horrible situation to bring them out. God redeems us through the cross, through the passion, through something as terrible as a man being executed in a horrible way. Then I heard the story about this man who needed a heart transplant. He was in his 50s. Needed a heart transplant, couldn't find a good donor. Well, at about that time, he had a 22-year-old daughter named Patty. Unfortunately, she got killed in a car accident. Well, he was devastated by it, but they found out that her heart was a perfect match for his. At first, he didn't want to take his own daughter's heart, but then as he and his wife talked about it, they figured that she would have wanted to give him her heart. And so they did the operation and they put the heart of Patty into Chris. And he lives to talk about it. He says, whenever I feel my heart beating, I feel my daughter. And the one whom I gave life to has given life back to me. The tragedy of an accident, yet God brought life out of that and something good. And not only to Chet, but she gave other organs to other people. Two blind ladies now have vision because of Patty. Two others are sharing her kidney, and another has her liver. All these people benefiting from the tragedy of her accident. And that's the way God works. He takes the bad and the tragedies and the broken and the sufferings and the difficulties, and he works through that to bring new life, to bring blessing. Out of the tragedy of the cross, he brought resurrection. I live at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston, and at our retreat center, it's a mecca for the 12-step program. 12-step is Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, all those anonymous programs. And people come who have experienced that they have an addiction. They've admitted it. That takes a lot of humility. It's amazing how God works in their hard blackouts, bottoming out, to bring them to sobriety and also to bring them new life. Many of these people who are now in the 12-step program, many of these people are now helping other people. They actually become sponsors in the 12-step program. And so what started off as something tragic or bad or, quote, sinful, an addiction, has turned into something good for the whole community and good for the family. People are turning their lives around. This is redemption. God's not mad at you because you're addicted, but He'll use the addiction or the brokenness or the mortal sin to bring you new life. I have heard the confessions of many women and men who have committed the sin of adultery, committed the sin of abortion, and most of them talk about how God used that situation to actually bring them to a deeper relationship with Jesus. So if you're in the midst of an addiction, if you're in the midst of adultery, God can free you from that. And you can actually become better because of it. And God will also work in you in powerful ways. If you've committed an abortion, don't give up on yourself. I want you to know that there's healing for you. I think about a woman friend of mine who used to work in my ministry, Janice Carlton. She preaches about this publicly. She had an abortion when she was a teenager, and she was devastated by it, but God worked in that situation to bring her new life. She now has a family, 4 children, and now she works with pro-life, and she pickets places where they have abortions, and God's working through her to bring new life. In fact, her daughter became a sister of life, dedicated to pro-life. So God has a way of making the tragedies and the hurts and the sorrows and the brokenness of our life. See, this is what hope is. At the Easter Vigil, the great celebration of hope, Easter, resurrection, at the Easter Vigil, either the deacon or somebody qualified will sing something called the Exultat. And the Exultat is this great liturgical ancient hymn. And in this hymn, they'll talk about, oh, happy fault that earned such a glorious Redeemer. So in the midst of Easter, we go back to original sin and we call it a happy fault. See, God is even able to turn original sin inside out and to make it a happy fault because it leads to redemption and resurrection. This is the power of God, folks. You see, the God that we serve created the universe, trillions of galaxies, billions of people. If you are in love with nature like I am, birds and animals and mountains and valleys and the oceans, you know, we've all seen it, the sun, the stars. But His greatest power, I believe, is His power to forgive and to redeem. It says in the scriptures that His arm is not so short that He can't redeem us. God is able to work in your situation, whatever hardship or difficulty or tragedy you may be going through. I've led pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and I've studied there way back in 1988. Love going there. And Galilee is so beautiful, and one of the places I always lead pilgrims to is Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, they have a church there. It's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Sepulchre was the tomb of Jesus. And it's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre because it's the environs of the church surround the tomb where Jesus was, but also it surrounds Calvary where Jesus was crucified. So in other words, in one church, you have two things. You have the place of the death of Christ on Calvary, and right near it is the empty tomb. And it's a powerful church because it contains not only the place where Jesus was put to death, but this empty tomb, which to us is the sign of the resurrection, and that's hope. And that's the way it is in our lives. Oftentimes, it's the situation that causes the pain and the sorrow, Calvary, that leads to the place of blessing and new life and resurrection. I like to go to our retreat center in Los Angeles. It's called Sierra Madre, right outside Los Angeles. And it's called Madre Dolorosa, Mother of Sorrows. We have a beautiful Stations of the Cross there. The 15th Station of the Cross, it just shows an empty hole, an empty tomb in the rock. And it's interesting that emptiness is the sign of resurrection, that a vacant tomb is the symbol of hope. And I think about emptiness because many people are going through emptiness in their life right now. And if you are going through an empty period, feeling like nothing's happening, I want you to know that that could be the catalyst for something more. Just like the empty tomb was the catalyst or the sign, the symbol of resurrection. I think about my own life really quickly. I remember when I was dating in college, I dated this woman for about 9 months and we had a great time together. We ended up breaking up, and that's when I felt a lot of hurt deep inside. And there was some tremendous emptiness because really I had abandoned God and needed forgiveness in my life, and I was going through Billy Graham calls it a cosmic loneliness, this loneliness deep inside, this emptiness. But it was that emptiness and that hurt and that pain and that loneliness inside that actually led me to God. It was the catalyst of my conversion. That's why I say, don't just look on the surface of things. Don't just say, well, I'm empty and I'm lonely and that's it, it's over and woe is me. No, look for the one who can redeem you. Remember what I said, God is our redeemer. Goel is the word for this in the, I believe, the Hebrew. God, our redeemer. Look for God to redeem your situation, whether it be grieving, depression, loneliness, emptiness, confusion about the future. Just give God a little bit of faith. Give God a little bit of room to work with, and I know that He will work in your situation. This is what hope is. I used to have a good friend named Brent. Brent and I were golf buddies, and he was such a gracious man, a great believer. Unfortunately, he contracted lymphoma and of the lung, Hodgkin's lymphoma it was called, and he ended up passing away. He was only about 61 years old, wasn't that old, passed away from this cancer. And his wife and his children were devastated because Brent was such a great man. But the aftermath of this has led his wife to become the leader of a grief group. And now she's helping a lot of people that are grieving. And she also, I get emails from people that are grieving all the time. She wrote something for me so that I could send to people in an email. So what I'm trying to say is that his wife, Judy, took the tragedy of Brent dying and did something with it. And that's what hope is. And then I think about this 13-year-old girl. Her name was Carrie Leitner. She ended up being killed by a drunk driver. This was years ago. Her mother, Candace, was overwhelmed. She was shattered. She was broken by this. Her 13-year-old girl was killed by a drunk driver. Such a senseless happening. Her anger and her grief were overwhelming. Instead of letting these emotions totally dominate her, and that was the end of the story, Candace decided to do something about this. And in time, she raised up a movement called MADD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And her goal was that there would be no more drunk driving deaths. And so MAD is all about ending drunk driving. That's her mission. Well, they haven't totally stopped people getting killed by drunk drivers, but it's been cut in half. So out of the tragedy of this little girl's death, this mother did something, and this is what hope is. Out of the tragedy, out of something bad, something good happened. Think of the lives, the thousands of lives that have been saved because of Carrie's death. Wow, that's what hope is. And so I want you to understand that there's hope for you, no matter what you're going through. I think of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. This has been attributed to him. And it goes like this: make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there's darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Wow, that is so good. So really, when it comes to tragedy and hardship and divorce and darkness, there's hope. I have a pen pal ministry, and it reaches out to people who are in prison. And one of the people in prison wrote me, and this is what they said. They said, through the darkness of prison, I have found God in my life. He said, I enrolled in a Bible study class that they had just to kill the time. But as I was studying the scriptures, as I was studying the Bible in prison, God touched me and gave me a call. And he said, I found a calling in my life. I'm now a different man than I ever was. And it all happened in the darkness of prison. His call is to share with others, of course, as you might expect, to share with others about the good news of Jesus. But he didn't even know Jesus when he went into prison. Now he's had this beautiful conversion. But the point I'm trying to make is, in the darkness of prison, the hardship, the loneliness, the emptiness, if you will, of that hard situation, this man found God. And so that's how God works. It's beautiful in all kinds of difficult situations. I think about this movie that just came out as I'm taping this, as I'm filming this. In 2019, there was a movie called Unplanned. And if you know anything about it, it was an unplanned box office success. It's a story about Abby Johnson, who is a director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. And during her tenure, she saw an ultrasound for a 13-week-old fetus. And during this ultrasound, the doctor sent in a probe, and the fetus tried to get out of the way. And it so upset her that she ended up leaving Planned Parenthood, changing her whole views on abortion, and becoming a person that is pro-life. Well, this movie came out, and now it has affected our culture. Many people went to see that movie. And our culture is changing. President Trump got into office, very pro-life president, and he's been helping to change legislation. Now there are states such as Missouri, Iowa, Kentucky, Utah, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, and so many other states. Some of the states, it is now illegal to have abortions in that state. I never thought I would live to see the day when abortion would be illegal. But the tide has been turning. And so what I simply wanted to say is that God works through the tragedies of abortion to bring new life. If you're a woman or a man considering having an abortion, I'm inviting you to open up your heart to God and to realize that that life that has begun in your womb, if you're a woman, is really a human being, and to give that life a chance. And I want to tell you that this is how God works. If you've had an abortion and you're broken and feeling guilty and overwhelmed, realize that you're not beyond the pale of forgiveness, that God, His mercy, His love, will forgive you. Simply come to Him. So that's what hope is. Hope is believing in the tragedies, in the sufferings, in the accidents, in the sins, in the addictions. And I've listed many here in this talk, in all the stuff of what it is to be human, that God isn't distant, but rather God is at work. And that's why hope is alive. And if you're a person of hope, you will become a passionate person, a proactive person, a person who reaches out to others because you know that God is a redeeming God. And I pray that in your life, no matter what you're going through right now, you will be a person of hope that knows that even though there's a storm on the horizon, the rainbow is coming. And because of your hope, you won't just live, you'll live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.